Our epistle for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Brethren, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and throughout all and in us all, who is blessed forever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, David's. He said to them, How then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one could answer him a word, neither did anyone dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now,
and at the hour of our death. I exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. To walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called. Call, that comes from the Latin word vocare, to call. We have words that we can associate with it from our English language, like vocation, which in the religious sense means what God has called us to. Now, people think vocation is one of the three main religious, married, or single, and it's true. But then we have a vocation of life. And the vocation of life is one and the same for all. We are meant to be children of God, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. We're meant to consider ourselves as children of God, and in considering ourselves as children, we behave as children of the divine. How do we do this? Well, we have to have a humility to be able to recognize that it's not about self-will, but a denial of self. And it's about following the example of the firstborn among us, Christ Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, born of the Father before all ages. If we wish to realize our vocation, what God has called us to, we have to follow Him. But there is only one way to truly follow Christ and to make progress in that journey. We have to follow His commands. If you love me, keep my commandments. We hear our Lord express the commandments, the two great commandments, where the whole law and the prophets are based off of, as these lawyers are trying to test Him. But He spells it out pretty straightforward. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, with all your strength. How much of your heart? The whole thing. Now here, if we study ourselves, no doubt we will find ourselves deficient because of our fallen human nature. It is not here for us important to get discouraged, but to realize that we're meant to make progress. We're meant to put forth the effort to continue in this procession. of perfecting our love for our Heavenly Father. The only way we can perfect our love for the Heavenly Father is by knowing Him. The more we know Him, the more we love Him, the better we serve Him. That's the way it works. How do we serve Him? Well, Christ kind of highlights that in the second commandment, where He says, "And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." People hear this, they're like, okay. They translate it differently. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I think the translation needs to be understood a little differently. Love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God. What do you love most about yourself? People don't consider this. A quick contemplation about the reality of our life. The end of our life we call death. Give us a clear understanding of what we ought to love most about ourselves. It's not of the body. It's the soul. How do you love the soul? There's only one way to love the soul, and to make sure that it has connection with its creator, that God abides in it, for that's what its purpose is. Anything else you try to fill the soul with, all it does is lead to a greater cavity. We have to, in order to progress, perfect, and make good use of the grace that we have received, there are things that we must do. The simple fact that we're baptized doesn't make it okay. There are things that we must do. Our Lord tells us, keep my commandments. So let us look at some of these commandments of our Lord. There's this whole element of forgiveness. Forgive all injuries. That's often one that's mistranslated. People think that it has something to do with feelings. It doesn't have anything to do with feelings. It has everything to do about Christ. You forgive your neighbor for Christ's sake, because He has forgiven you. You realize that any offense that your neighbor has against you, or you have against your offense, is minute in comparison to what God could have against us. It's nothing. One sin, albeit venial, is still an infinite offense. But yet, see how freely He forgives us? Another commandment, believe and be baptized. People think, well, baptism, I'm baptized, I'm good to go. No, we must believe. And it's not just about believing so we can rattle off definitions out of a catechism. It's believing to the extent that we live according to as we believe. It's a way of life. Our Lord tells us, believe and be baptized, and you shall be saved. And they who do not believe will be condemned, whether you're baptized or not. Believe what? The truth. His way. What are we asked to do? To give up everything. To deny ourselves. To take up our cross. To follow Christ. There's a sacrifice we're asked to make. And the selfish man will not make it. But they who truly want to realize their purpose as children of God, they're willing to sacrifice anything, everything. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that persecute and calumniate you. Love my enemies. We live in a world and a day and age where there's an awful lot of enemies where it concerns the truth. It concerns Christ. A lot of damage out there. How do you love these people? Is it a feeling? Feelings are cheap. Something greater than a feeling. We love our enemies for Christ's sake. As we see our Lord on the cross and how He deals with His enemies, we pray for our enemies. Be merciful and you shall obtain mercy. We think we are worthy of mercy just because we cry out, Lord, Lord. And our Lord says, no, just because you say, Lord, Lord, you look holy and you look pious. Just because you say, Lord, Lord, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but everybody who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. Highlighting, there are things we must do in order to realize this vocation. How do we learn of these things? He says, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. How do you learn of somebody? You have to pray. You have to talk to them. You have to communicate with them. And not just a bunch of mumbled words. No, it has to come from the heart. Prayer is essential to our spiritual life and our life with our Heavenly Father. Watch and pray that you be led not into temptation. Yes, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's an obligation that we must do. Stipulations we must perform if we are to truly realize our vocation as being children of God. An effort that we must make. Seek first the kingdom of God and His justice. Everything else be added to you besides. But we have to seek it. What is God's will for me today? You know, one thing about the spiritual life, it can't remain the same. If you think you're the same with regards to your relationship with God today as you were yesterday, you have failed. The spiritual life is all about progress and procession. That's why Christ says, if you want to be my disciples, you have to deny yourself, take up a cross, follow me. Where is he leading us to? Perfection. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That's our goal. Just because we carry some rosary beads in our pockets and come to church on Sunday, no, it's not sufficient. Especially in this day and age. We need to wake ourselves up to the spiritual reality that we're in and appreciate the opportunity that we have and make good use of the gifts that God offers. It takes a repentant heart. Repent, our Lord tells us. The kingdom of God is at hand. Yet we realize our faults. Christ says the just man falls 7 times a day. It's all right. We don't hold on to them. We don't justify them. And we don't say something that is a sin isn't a sin because it makes us feel better or makes our friends feel better. No, sin is sin. If something offends God, it offends God, period. And so we must repent, let go. And there is a thought that has been coming back to me as of recent weeks. Came from Scripture, from our Lord's mouth. And I think of this often as we are dealing with this. We have to be careful what we say around people, world that we live in. Political correctness, etc. And Christ lays it pretty clearly out when he says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So the question comes down, what is it that we want? Do we want to realize our vocation, follow it, pursue our Heavenly Father so that we can be forever happy with Him? Or are we willing to sacrifice that for selfishness, for associates and their opinions, families and friends? Christ tells us in the Scriptures, if you're willing to hold on to family and friends more than you want to hold on to me, you're not worthy of me. There is a decision that we must make. With all humility and meekness, with patience. One hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. That vocation, my dear friends, is for us to be saints. And we will not become saints 2 seconds after we die. No, we start becoming saints now. And the choice is ours. He's made His choice. He wants us to be saints. He has empowered us and given us grace and gifts. What will our choice be? How will we answer our calling? How will we live our vocation? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.